I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Paul Preston joining us now, our first guest this hour. How do you end Golden State tyranny? Paul is founder and president of the Movement for a New California State. Welcome to Rush to Reason, Paul.
Well, thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it very much. So talk to us about what you're trying to get done in California.
Well, we are actually making a new state. We're beyond the trying phase, and we're actually doing it. We're 5 years into this project. We've had we declared ourselves independent on January 15, 2018. We've had seven constitutional conventions. We've established a bicameral legislature, and we've passed 26 resolutions. And in the first week of December, we're going to be going to the drafting constitution phase, which is going to be a constitutional convention to draft the first constitution for New California. We've been up and running for a long time. We have county committees established in 56 of the 58 counties of California already, and we're actually in the early phases of negotiating with the California State Legislature to become the 51st state.
And where will the line, for all of us listening in Colorado, where, you know, I know it's hard not looking at a map, but where's the line drawn? Where would it separate?
Well, you know, that's always the big question, and that was our question originally 5-6 years ago, is where's the line going to be to separate? And we went through a number of different iterations, and finally we said, well, where are the populations? You know, take a look at the population densities and so on. So we looked at urban versus rural, and we discovered that California, from a landmass area, is about 90% rural. And the urbanized areas, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Sacramento, represent about 20 million people condensed into that small area. In the rest of California, about 19.5. So we took the 19.5, the smaller number, but the larger landmass, and that's New California. Old California will be the Los Angeles basin area, San Francisco, and Sacramento.
So walk us through, by the way, this is a great idea. In fact, here in Colorado, we could very easily do something similar to what you guys are doing. Walk us through how this has to work, and I know you've explained a little bit about what's happening over the last 5 years, but I guess walk us through how it works, the timeline, and where you'll be. In other words, at what point in time will you be a new California?
Well, we anticipate that we'll be a new California. We're going to go through the state process. It's a two-step process. You have to follow the Constitution. It's very clear.
Yep.
The last time this was ever done was 1861 with West Virginia,
okay.
And they're right in the middle of the Civil War. And, of course, we're right in the middle of the Civil War,
yes,
so to speak, here in California. And so when you look at how a state is to be split, the Founding Fathers wrote Article 4, Section 3, the state split clause. It's only been exercised three other times in American history, the last time being with West Virginia. So we're following the West Virginia model. But before you even get there, you have to follow the constitutional model. And that's all laid out for you in Article 4, Section 3, which states that if you want to form a new state from a pre-existing state, then what you have to do is get fundamentally the permission of the state legislature and then that of the Congress. Now, it doesn't say that you get permission of the governor. In fact, in this process, the governor is completely irrelevant in the process.
Yeah, I know. And real quick, I would think so, because he would then be governor, in this case, Newsom would be of old California. Am I thinking correctly?
That's correct. He's excluded. Anything that's part of the old California is excluded from the process. That goes to county supervisors, anywhere else. And see, the reason is that Article 4, Section 3 was really written by the Founding Fathers as an escape valve. They knew that when states were going to be formed, that the probability would be very high that a governor could turn rogue. And in order to turn rogue, you have to reverse engineer the constitutional aspects of it, which they've successfully done in California. We now have a dictator. But along the road, they recognized that everybody would be corrupted with the dictator. So
yep.
That means at the county
yep.
level, local level, and you're seeing that, I'm sure you guys
are. We are. We're seeing the very same thing that you're
there.
Talking. And we're
right.
seeing that, Paul, because a lot, no offense, but a lot of the folks, the transplants that have come to Colorado have come from California and did nothing but corrupt the system that we've got here, right? I'm not blaming it all on them, but that's a big
yeah.
reason as to why we now are really a total full blue state.
Yeah, that's what's happening. See, they're spreading the wealth, so to speak. But this isn't just a California issue. The plans to do all this are quite Marxist in design. It's been
yes,
going
they are.
On as a
well
process
said.
For years.
Yes.
That's the thing, is that we just have to stop the process. And the founding fathers had the answers. That's why Article 4, Section 3, state split ends all this corruption and everything, as it's doing out here in California and about to do. So the next step for us would be to move on to Congress. And like I said, we're in the early stages of negotiating right now with the state legislature. We've had some overtures, and they've been responsive. And the reason is, of course, California is fundamentally insolvent. It's
They're broke, right? Essentially, if you looked at a balance sheet, they're out of money, right? They're underwater. Well, not even out of money. They're underwater.
They're $120 billion cash flow debt right now. Period. That's why there's no schools. You know, you can't run the state if you don't have money. And of course, naturally, the schools aren't functioning. That even this whole joke with the teachers, you know, reporting to school and then they do their remote class. It's a bunch of garbage. I was in education for 41 years. I know how the system works. And it's farcical to think that you can educate kids like this. So just the sheer fact that the state is closed on its education system tells you that they're broke. So they're in a very good negotiating position for us. And we know that. And many of them are becoming wise to it. So as we go through our negotiations, we expect that we'll be through negotiations with the state by the end of this year, and then we'll be moving on to Congress. And we're very, very confident that that's going to happen.
So you get through December, you get that part of it done. Walk us through what happens in January.
Well, in January, what happens, and again, let's say it happens in January. It could be January or February, because when people take their seats, it's in the first part of December when the California legislature comes back. There's going to be some negotiating stuff going on then. But again, what's going to happen in California is the financial picture is going to become incredibly bleak by February, and we understand that, and they understand it. So we will be moved on to Congress after we get resolutions passed and approved by the California legislature. It's a very low bar. The founding fathers knew that a legislature would be crippled by a dictator. So our three branches of government, you know, you have the executive, yep, you have the judicial, and the legislative, are totally torn apart in California. We have a dictator. He's usurped power from the legislature through the executive emergency order because,
yep,
of the COVID.
Yep.
And he's wrapped up the legislature underneath, and he's got the judiciary. So we do have a pure dictatorship here in California. Let's not be, you know, pleasant about it. It's absolutely a dictatorship, and he's doing whatever he wants to do when he wants to do it. So the founding fathers knew that that would exist. So that's why this clause comes in so exquisitely to break that up. And that's why we meet only with the legislature. The citizens do. So that's why the other ones are out, because they knew they'd be corrupted. So now we're meeting with them. And there's only two things this legislature can do to be effective. That's the way it works. They can vote to get rid of the executive orders by the governor, and by a resolution, a simple majority vote resolution, they can take his powers away. And in the case of a new state split, that's the only other thing they can do. They can authorize a state split by passing simple resolutions. Again, that was the low bar that the founding fathers put in place, and move on. That's what they're going to do with us. And all we need is a simple majority as a quorum to have it passed. We don't need a bill or anything like that. In fact, you can't get a bill, do a bill, and have it approved in the state. The courts will throw it out. And you saw what happened in the Tim Draper thing, where he tried to do three state split.
Right.
He was going to use his money and everything, but, you know, he was getting a proposition on the
They threw that out, correct, if I'm not mistaken?
They threw it out six to nothing, right,
yeah.
And because it wasn't constitutional.
So you're going about it constitutionally. All you really need to do, so here's the question I have for you. What's your chances of getting the California legislature to do this simple quorum, this simple majority?
100%.
And why? Why would they do that, Paul?
Well, because a lot of them don't want to go to prison.
Okay.
And they don't have any money. And the only way out is going to be with New California helping them out of their debt situation. You see, we have a communist variety of an economy here. And we don't have a free market capitalistic economy here. That's why you're getting so many transplants, because all the business people in California, the middle class, have left.
Right.
Now big business is going because of the communist nature of what's happening with the businesses. So we're going to bring back market economy. California is the 50th in ranking for business friendliness in the United States. I think we can do better than that.
Yeah, you can.
I mean, anybody can, if you know what I mean. But we're
right.
We're going to open up the economy for California, and we'll be a boom town all over again. But the idea that they're going to be let off the hook for their bad ways is, we're going to be talking about that, is we will help them with their debt, their accumulated debt. We will assume our natural part of the debt, but we're going to help them restructure their debt. We're going to bring them along, improve them as a state. We want California to be a win-win, too. We don't want to destroy them. What we do want to take care of, though, is the communism and their socialism.
Can you stay another segment? I got a lot more questions I'd like to ask you, Paul. Can you do that? Do you have time?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Hang tight. Again, we're talking to Paul Preston, a special guest today, and you guys can hear what we're talking about. How do you end Golden State tyranny? Well, that's, you make two Californians, and we're going to talk about that here again in just a minute, so don't go anywhere. Paul Preston with us. We'll be right back, though. In the meantime, American National Insurance is up next. My personal insurance agent, Paul, would love to help you out with all of the things you've got going on with insurance. And right now, with the fires, the things we've had here in Colorado, you need to review your insurance, make sure you're properly insured. Call Paul today, 303-662-0789.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason. John Rush Host, KLZ 560, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Paul Preston joining us today in this hour, founder and president of the Movement for a New California State, also host of Red State Talk Radio, Agenda 21 Radio. Paul, again, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. I got several more questions for you. I guess the first one will be, as you guys get into either, you know, January, February of 2021, I read that you'll also have some folks from the White House that will be there as observers. What does the federal government, or how do they play a part in all of this, or do they?
Well, they actually don't. It's nice that they're there. What we do know is that we're following the plan by statehood like the other states have done. It's always nice to have the president on your side. And presidents traditionally have helped new states come along, not only in the new state split that we're doing, but also in the territories. They played a very, very important role. So we recognized that right away when we started reading the history of West Virginia and how Abraham Lincoln came along to help the West Virginians form their new state in their time of need. So we've done the same thing. And taking a look at California, California's on the state is actually just set for, I guess you'd say a civil war to some degree, or an insurrection of some sort financially, because they're not going to be able to pay their bills. There's problems already socially and culturally in California. The possibility of having something like an insurrection is very, very real. And so we have actually communicated with the White House and told them that we would be more than happy to set up a restored government of California, much in the same fashion that West Virginia did. And we were asked to give them ink copies of the documents, so we did that. We know that this is something that is a concern to the president. It's a concern to everybody nationally. It should be that if something in California would come along and create a civil war or something like that, or worse yet, a secessionist event in which they'd want to split apart from the United States altogether, such as with the Confederacy. These are options that are floating around right now in California. In fact, there are some propositions to try and add this to the Constitution, that there would be a Calexit, as they call it, and actually split apart from the Union. This is an actual document that's in the Secretary of State's office, and they want to run this proposition by 2022. These are real things. They talk about Cascadia and events like that, and, of course, these are all blue states that they're trying to bond together to form a Confederacy. You know, we're not making this up. These are actual plans that exist. We've read them. We've read over them. And I'm sure that people in the government are keenly aware. But we've asked the president, much like Abraham Lincoln, you know, can you help us in the process when we get there, especially when we get into Congress? That's going to be the most important time. And they responded and said that they would be more than happy to have some people from the White House that will be as observers, only observers. They can't interfere or help or anything.
Sure.
In the process of forming our Constitution.
Makes total sense.
I plan to do that in February. Yeah.
It makes total sense. Okay. So you guys get that done. So you've already, in a way, formulated everything you need to do to split off from, you know, old California to become new California. You get through this process in February. Am I hearing you right? And that all you really need is for the old California legislature to approve this? And is that what I'm hearing?
Well, if you get to the Congress, and then Congress, it's a different issue because, you know, you have a whole different set of rules and regulations. You have to come up with the Constitution. They ask, you know, what happens is that we were told early on in the process by attorneys that don't worry about your Constitution. let the Congress write it when you get there. I said, no, that's not happening.
Yeah, no.
And I said, none of the other states and none of the other 50 states did that. I said, no, we're not starting with New California. So we've actually been developing our constitution through our 7 constitutional conventions, and we're pretty good right now. We're going to come up with, in December, with a functional constitution, and then the full-blown constitution will be in. It'll be a draft. They have to be drafts. But when asked to come up with a constitution through the Enabling Act, which Congress has to authorize, then we'll have one right there. We'll be speaking from our standpoint rather than listening to the 50 other congressmen trying to tell New California what to do.
Gotcha. And how do you think when you get to Congress that would actually go? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think that, when you take a look at the business cycles and the history of the economy in the United States, it's pretty much been driven a lot by California. And recently, of course, with all the influence of the Chinese communists in California, the cartels in particular, it's turned into something completely less than desirable for the country from an economic model. And, of course, that's why we have a $100 billion deficit. Of course, the whole reason why Nancy Pelosi wants $3 trillion is to help bail out California.
Sure.
I mean, that's not
sure.
fair to the rest of the nation.
No. I don't want to pay for that.
We all get that. Why should Colorado pay for it? Why should it? We need to pay our own bills, and that's exactly what we're going to do in New California. So that part of it for the rest of the United States is going to be a big benefit. But we understand that as an economic machine, literally everybody in the United States is going to benefit. And I know that fits right into what Donald Trump is doing right now with the rest of the nation. Imagine with California online, with the rest of the nation, what we will be like as an economy. Unemployment will go down to like 2 or less. We can revise and revamp our schools and universities.
What about your energy sector? Can you finally get that on track where you don't have these rolling, blackouts and the other nonsense that's going on when it comes to your power grid?
Yeah, and there's no reason for this. It's a game that they're playing. There is plenty of power, and of course, these people come up with lame brain ideas, like trying to tear down the dams so you don't have hydroelectric power.
Right.
These are things Jerry Brown tried to do. In fact, he worked at it pretty hard. He almost got the Oroville Dam to go down, not on its own, but with lack of maintenance and everything. So, the energy sector in California is a booming sector right now because, we're able to extract oil through fracking. That's a huge thing in California and going to be bigger. And natural gas is enormous in California. So we're going to be able to contribute our fair share of natural gas and oil, as well as the agriculture business. Part of the problem with agriculture in California is it's not utilizing its full potential. And we saw this with these whole droughts that the environmentalists called droughts anyway. They created the droughts and then they started draining off the reservoirs. We're not going to do that. We're going to go back and we're going to build new reservoirs. We're going to finish off the second part of the California Water Project. So there is plenty of water for the farmers. And we'll be producing lots of food for the United States and lots of food for the world, again, as we should be. We'll be utilizing the good water that we don't so desperately need. The environmental rules go away. The California Air Resources Board goes away. The Cal EPA goes away. The Coastal Commission, they all go away. We're going to be an open carry state. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You want to come into California, you want to buy a gun in the morning, you can buy it and pick it up in the afternoon, as well as your ammunition. That's what we're going to be. We're not going to, these rules that they have, those hideous Second Amendment restrictions are just not going to exist in New California.
Gotcha. I notice on the map, too, you're not including San Diego in Old California.
No. You're looking at the red versus yellow?
Yes.
Yeah. No, San Diego comes with us.
That's amazing. Yeah. That is amazing.
The border to border. Border to border, and this is doable. It's going to happen. There's other states that don't have contiguous borders, such as Michigan and Alaska and Hawaii.
True.
There's no reason why they need to have contiguous borders.
True.
The population density is the issue. They wanted it, and they got it.
How do you handle just as a question on my end, Paul, when it comes to the ports? Because I know some of the areas that are now going to be Old California will still control some of those ports and some of the freight coming in and out. How do you work that part of it out?
Well, we'll work it out with them. You know, the Port of Los Angeles and Long Beach handled 60% of all containerized products in the United States. We are going to be the Long Beach port. Long Beach is part of New California, so we basically take one half of that. Also, we have Pittsburgh area, which is in Contra Costa County. That's a large porting oil facility out of there, out of the Bay Area.
Okay.
We also have the Port of Sacramento. A lot of people don't know that Sacramento has a deep sea port as well as Stockton. And then, of course, we have San Diego. Then we have Eureka, which is building a huge port up there in Eureka. We're going to be fine with ports. There's no question about it. Just as a state, but, you know, we'll work out contracts and so on between Los Angeles and Long Beach. I mean, you can just see how the when you have a free market economy,
right?
They're going to want to do business with us.
Yeah, true free market. You are exactly correct. Well, you know what? Best of luck to you guys. I mean, I think the one bargaining chip that you guys have over us in Colorado that, you know, we just don't have with you is we don't have the same debt yet. We've had, you know, something I'm sure you're familiar with called Tabor, Taxpayer Bill of Rights, that has really kept even our blue legislatures in check, if you would, for a while. That's changing. They try to pass fees and do all sorts of other things. But right now, you know, financially speaking, we're still in pretty decent shape. Now, COVID and all the things that are going down with the shutdown, that could change in the very near future. But historically, we've been in pretty good shape because of Tabor. That's the one bargaining chip we don't have that you have.
Well, California, they're doing away with Prop 13, which was kind of the same thing. They're going to try and do away with that this year, and it looks like they might. That doesn't really matter because the way we are so overtaxed and overregulated, you know, our Constitution is going to be completely different with New California. We're going to go back to the model of 1879, which is similar to the Texas model today, which we're going to have our legislature is going to meet once every 2 years for 60 days. Currently, that we used to do that until 1966, and they changed it through a resolution or proposition. And so now California's legislature meets 11 months out of every year. And you can just see the bureaucratic state that California has turned into. It's a monster. And that's how they've done it so successfully. You have the legislature has no control, really. It's all the lobbyists and the staffers who run the legislature. And then, of course, now in our situation, we have a complete dictatorship working against us. So,
right. But
the more they do this kind of stuff, the more they show the world that New California can exist. And in fact, there's a new Illinois movement. They just declared their independence on the 17th, and they're going to be they're following the same model. We're working closely with them. There's a new Oregon movement. There's a new New York movement that if they get their act together, I got to say that to them. They get their act together, there'll be a new New York as well.
Interesting. Boy, this is a lot of good stuff. That's all I can say, Paul. We'll have you back. I want to hear how things go once you guys get a few things under wraps as we get into the first of the year. Let me know. I'd love to get you back on, get some updates. This is exciting.
Yeah, we got to say our website, which is newcaliforniastate.com. That's state.
Yep, I was there. You one step ahead of me. No, good stuff. Newcaliforniastate.com, folks.
Thank you very much.
Paul, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Paul Preston, again, folks, go look at the website. By the way, very informative, very interesting. And frankly, folks, something that we in Colorado could very much think of doing the same thing. It really could happen. This is not far-fetched by any stretch of the imagination. Extreme Auto Repair, folks, coming up next. Make sure your vehicle is in top working order as we head into winter. And don't forget tires. They've got a great deal on tires right now. $75 rebate on Cooper tires. And just go to klzradio.com, 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme, promises kept.
Folks, Kevin Flesch, just saw Kevin earlier today, by the way, and he's got some exciting news. I will not say exactly what the news is, but a great case that he won. And in fact, you might even read about some of that in the papers as time goes by here. But that's Kevin. He will go to bat for you, fight for you, fight for your rights. That's what he does. He is trial tested, trial ready. 303-806-8886. Have that number in your phone at all times. Flesch and Beck. Find him at fleshlawfirm.com.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law.
Red light cameras, what's the scoop on those?
First of all, you'll get something in the mail with a picture. The picture has to be the person that owns the vehicle. That's the only way that they can ID the driver is by the owner of the vehicle. So if you're driving someone else's vehicle and they get the ticket and your picture is on it, tell them to throw it away because they'll never be able to ID who it is that was driving. So even worst case scenario, I'm driving my own vehicle. I go through an intersection. They get a good picture. They will send me a notice. I still say throw that away.
Yeah, because they need to serve you.
That's right. And if they personally serve you, then you have to deal with it. But if they don't, trash.
Yeah, trashola.
It's a complete revenue generator.
It's all
it
is. Yes. It's just a tax.
Yep.
It's a driving tax.
That's exactly what
it is.
That's
all it is, people.
Kevin Flesch of Flesch and Beck Law. Common sense legal advice. 303-806-8886. 303-806-8886. FleschLawFirm.com.
Golden Eagle Financial. Al Smith wants to help you get to retirement and stay in retirement. And then on top of that, know what you're going to be doing in retirement. He can help you with all of that. That's what Al does. He is a financial advisor. Go to klzradio.com, 303-744-1128.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange a free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. By the way, lines are open if you want to call in and talk about anything we just went through with our last guest and New California. Might be something in Colorado we could easily do. 303-477-5600. I have six reasons why leftists love masks. And folks, let me tell you what they do. I have heard that. I've had them text me, email me, and the left loves masks. This is an article in Town Hall by Scott Moorfield, and I'm not going to read all of it word for word, but I'll go through the highlights of this. The image of maskless Trump supporters standing behind the president at rallies has become an unfairly maligned symbol of an unfairly maligned segment of the U.S. population, so much so that the campaign has made every effort to mask them up with Trump masks, only succeeding to a limited degree with those standing directly behind the president facing the camera. Trump supporters are COVID idiots who are toying with death, says the left, as they toss about dismissive phrases like science deniers or Darwin awards. To them, those of us who eschew masks are backwards rubes, if not would-be mass murderers who have made saving grandma all about politics. Fair enough to us, mask proponents are herd-driven, frightened sheeple who care more about signaling their endless virtue than following data, facts, and real science. But whatever, to be sure, mask-wearing has become political, although I would argue that it is the proponents of forced masking who have made it so, not the other way around. And by the way, that's a very true statement. It's the mask-wearers, the little Karens of the world and Kevins of the world, the little mask Nazis. This is me talking, by the way, not in the article. That have made it political. We have not done this. So, since they brought it up, let's talk about these politics for a bit. Do you ever wonder why the left primarily seems to be in love with their face diapers and quite obviously wants to wear them forever, while the right tends to either grudgingly use them or avoid them like the plague? Is there something innate to the right or left thinking mind that precludes us to take a certain position on this issue, or is it all just caused by bad orange man? No, it's not caused by bad orange man. Jeff is up next. Jeff, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good today, John.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hey, sorry to hear about your cabin, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Life goes on, man. I thought that last guest that you had on was really interesting with the new California stuff. That was the first I'd heard about that.
Yeah, we've talked about it in the past ever so slightly, Jeff, but never in that detail. So, no, to your point, I learned a lot by talking to him that I did not know either, so I learned a lot today.
Yeah, and it was really interesting, and I'm going to start following it closely. To be honest with you, I don't think they've got a snowball's chance in hell of getting it done, but I hope that they do.
The only way they're going to get it done, and I do agree with him on the money side of the fence, because when you go to Congress and you start talking about money, now granted, those knuckleheads may not care because they think they can just print more and absolve California of all their debt anyways, but the reality is it doesn't work quite that easily. And I think most of them that have any kind of common sense, which granted there's not a lot of those left, know that, Jeff. And so if there's any saving grace that you know these guys have in actually doing what they're doing, and he is right, it does come down to the money side of the fence. You can't keep California in that much debt, $120 billion. You can't keep them there and not do something about it.
No, because that state has always been such a huge economic producer.
That's right, and he is correct on that as well. That is right.
And the fact that they are willing to eat some of old California's debt to help.
Yeah, that bodes well in their favor as well, Jeff. So again, they do have, and he's right, they do have some bargaining chips when they go to Congress, which I believe, by the way, I do believe that. I do think they get that done because I think the California current legislature will say, yeah, you know what, take your chances, let's see what happens. I think they get to Congress. It's a matter of what happens then.
Yes, I do too. But as I said, with our current state of Congress, I don't know that they'll get it through that. I hope that they do. Just for the
I hope they do too, by the way. I hope they do too.
That opens the door for the majority of the landmass of the western United States to do the same thing.
Yeah. You think?
Colorado, Washington, Oregon.
That's right.
It opens the door to do that.
It sure does. Think about this for a second, Jeff. If that, in fact, does happen, and we keep the Electoral College, which, by the way, I hope, in fact, we do. And that's, by the way, I think the other reason why there's such a huge movement right now to go to a popular vote is because they know these sorts of things are happening. And if you keep the Electoral College intact and you end up with a new Colorado and a new California and a new Illinois and a new New York, the reality is, Jeff, it's going to be very hard for liberals on down the road to actually win if you do what I just said happens.
Exactly.
And they know that. That's why they're pushing so hard for this popular vote.
Yep.
So there you go, folks. Right. That's why the popular vote is trying to be submerged, if you would, Jeff. They're trying to put that thing as far underwater as they possibly can and get rid of the Electoral College and raise the, I didn't say that correctly. They want to raise the popular vote up and get rid of the Electoral College, basically submerge that thing as far as they can because they know there's no chance they're ever going to win in the future if what we're talking about happens.
Yes.
So... Well, no, I'm with you. I'm going to watch this very closely. We'll get him back on and get some updates as they go through this. Now that we've got a contact there, we'll definitely keep everybody abreast of what's going on.
No, sounds great, John.
Thanks, Jeff. No, I appreciate it very much. By the way, yes, very informative of what we went through there with New California. When I come back, I am going to give you the reasons why the left, I do have six reasons why the left loves masks. Real quick, I'll give you the first one, which we just talked about, by the way, with our caller, Jeff, when it comes to the national popular vote. Leftists love one size fits all. That's why they want a popular vote, by the way. They hate the Electoral College because it is not a one size fits all, and they hate that. That's why they love masks, because it's a one size fits all. Everyone wears a mask. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what your thought process is or whether you're sick or not. You're going to wear a mask no matter what. We'll talk about that when we come back. Enchanted Kitchens is next, folks. And by the way, what is not a one size fits all, which again, the left loves, is your kitchen. Not every kitchen is exactly the same, nor fits every family the exact same way. Make that kitchen fit you, not a one-size-fits-all approach. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-376-7588.
The Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center feels like home, only better. The design process at Enchanted Kitchens always begins in their award-winning showroom because their team believes you need to see, touch, and feel your new kitchen ahead of time. Built to look like a nicer version of your own home with an open floor plan, the Experience Center allows you to visualize a kitchen that works. Standing inside a true-to-life example of a functional kitchen, you can start to imagine how much more you'll enjoy your new space, solidifying your vision for your home. Then, the Enchanted Kitchens design team will bring samples into your home to help truly picture your new kitchen and discuss the design based on your budget and style. Visit the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center and feel at home, only better. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/kitchens and schedule a free design consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, where he can help you. Kurt, I should say, at Affordable Interest Mortgage can help you with that kitchen, getting it paid for. What is what I mean by that? He can do that for you. He can figure out how to redo your mortgage, make that work, and in a lot of cases, not have any more cash flow going out than what you normally would have had. It's Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Sharon says, "Love this company. They have gone above and beyond to respond to our copier and service needs for the past 10 years. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, I left off with our six reasons why leftists love masks. And by the way, it's got nothing to do with your health. The first one was they love the one-size-fits-all approach. One-size-fits-all approach, I should say. So it's no surprise to them that advocating for masks outdoors in non-crowded areas with the same vigor they would in a crowded bus or an airplane. Yeah, they like the one-size-fits-all. Karen says, wear a mask all the time. Leftists love to control other people, especially those they disagree with ideologically. If this were a super deadly pandemic that was killing great numbers of people not already on death's door, and face masks were scientifically proven to stop them, which, by the way, they're not, then maybe there would be some justification for mandating them for a short period of time. And governments have always had and should always have the right to quarantine the sick, by the way, key word there, if a deadly disease is spreading in an area. But when masks are mandated, even in places where the virus isn't spreading and have been for months on end, with zero end in sight, it's hard to argue that the basic human desire for control of others, present to an even more dangerous degree among leftists, isn't playing a role here. If you watch the mind-blowing shenanigans of ghouls like Gretchen Whitmer and Bill de Blasio, and honestly, and by the way, I should say Kevin Polis, and honestly think these people don't get off using power to lord it over others, you're deceiving yourself. And by the way, folks, that in there lies the key. Leftists love big government mandates. The maskers don't want to convince you to put on the face burqa, or burqa, I should say. They can't really do that anyway. Once you go beyond the surface argument of supposedly stopping mud droplets, the idea is patently absurd, not just on its face, but when analyzed by any sort of honest science. Thus, they need the force of law or executive edict mandate to enforce their irrational fears on those who think beyond their propaganda. Leftists love to suppress free speech they disagree with. By the way, if you don't believe me on that one, go look at Twitter, Facebook, or anything else that's out there and tell me that that's not the correct statement, especially if it comes from medical professionals and scientists on the opposite side of their views. There was a time when liberals would defend one's right to speak even if they disagreed with what was being said. That time, sadly, is long gone. Sure, if there wasn't a First Amendment, they'd probably have us all in gulags, but nowadays, who needs government speech suppression when you can use intimidation, public shaming, gaslighting, and your big tech ideological allies to shut down dissenting opinions as well as Joseph Stalin ever could have? Leftists despise personal freedom. Other than freedom to have an abortion or switch the gender of a confused five-year-old, leftists tend to hate personal freedom, especially the kind that leads to robust, successful, liberty-loving societies. Individuality has always been hated by a left that tends to prefer a state and the collective. When we gave them the power to force humans to cover one of the most important aspects of our individuality, thus turning us virtually into faceless clones, is anyone surprised to see them run with it as far as they can go? Did you ever in your wildest dreams think you'd lose freedom to breathe free air while walking in public? Well, it's gone, and we're going to have to fight like hell to get it back. Leftists hate seeing other people happy when they aren't. Boy, is that not the fact, by the way. They hate that. Jealousy is a part of human nature, to be sure, but it also seems to be a bigger problem among those on the left. That's ultimately why they tend to favor socialism over a free market system. Seeing other people succeed wildly doesn't drive those ghouls to work hard and seek their own success, but instead make them want to steal it away in some way, preferably legally using government force. To wit, I believe that mask and other sorts of COVID shaming come less from any real concern the left has for health and more from the fact that they just can't stand to see people happy and living a life that deviates from the dystopian, fear-filled existence they've chosen for themselves. There are doubtless plenty more, but here's the bottom line. Leftists are generally miserable people who get twisted pleasure from trying to make the lives of others as sad as their own. As such, their zealous, quasi-religious love of universal force masking should take none of us by surprise. By the way, great article again that was written in townhall.com by Scott Moorfield. Scott, I know you're not listening to me, but well done. That's a very well-written article, and I cannot disagree with anything that's been said there. I've talked about it myself on this program now in depth for probably the last 6+ months. I've continued to say it, and I will continue to say it. Masks are nothing more than one big feel-good control measure by the left upon you that don't want to wear them. It's all it is, folks. There's not an ounce of data, and I will repeat that. And I know, folks, a lot of you keep questioning me on that, but the reality is there's not an ounce of data that shows wearing a mask protects anyone and anyone from getting COVID, including yourself. It's funny how those that wear masks a lot, like those around the Kamala Harris team, still got COVID. There's a Danish study out, by the way, that you can't hardly read anywhere because it's been suppressed, especially on social media. This Danish study basically says it's all a big ruse. There's nothing going on with wearing a mask. It's not helping anyone. And I've said this all along, and I will continue to say it. I don't care about your scientific studies because here's the reality of mask wearers. They don't follow exactly what those scientific studies do. They don't wear the mask properly. They fidget with it constantly. They touch surfaces that have COVID on it and then touch their mask and touch their face and do all these other things. The reality is even the studies that you see that talk about droplets and what masks do to prevent the droplets from releasing from someone's mouth aren't applicable 99.99% of the time because the majority of people don't wear them properly anyways. So don't give me your crap about how science says mask wearing works because it doesn't. It doesn't. It's a big ruse. It's a big feel good. It's TSA on steroids in public trying to make everyone feel good and basically shame everyone into doing something that, frankly, they don't need to be doing. The last thing the left wants is all of us to take the masks off and get the economy robust and rolling again, because if it does, it makes Donald Trump look good, and that's what they don't want. Bottom line, folks, that is it. They don't want Donald Trump looking good. They want you to wear a mask and cowering around and feeling afraid of everything going on in the world. That's what they want. Stop worrying them. That's what I'm going to say. Purify Chevrolet is up next, folks. They want to help you out with all your vehicle needs. And by the way, I can tell you right now, they're on my side with what I just said. They'll wear a mask because they have to, but it's not by choice. It's because they have to, because that's what the state says. Yeah. They'll be masked up when you go out there. That's what they do at Purify Chevrolet. But you know what? They'll take care of you. They'll let you drive a car. They'll let you do what you need to do to buy a car. And they're going to be there to help you all the way through that entire process. Highway 52 and Highway 85 in Fort Lupton, 303-659-8311. It's purifychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. And after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purifoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. That'll about do it for today. Andy will be back with me tomorrow, and we've got a great day in store for you. Ken LaCourte's going to join us, and he's got some things he wants to talk about with the Hunter Biden email. Steve House will join us from CD6. John O'Connor will also be with us, and he's the House Republicans formally request Attorney William Barr to appoint special prosecutor to investigate the Biden crime family. That plus a lot more tomorrow. Again, if you want to, the National Crawford Roundtable, by the way, is next. We had a great time this morning recording that, so enjoy that. That is next between 6 and 7. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.